When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson, and we are here at the NFL annual meetings here in Orlando at the Ritz Carlton.
A lot more
business going on here today.
A little different vibe than 24 hours ago.
Yeah, you know, yesterday
we were ahead of the parade, and now the parade's flying through.
Yeah, everybody is here now. It's all happening, and we've gotten to hear from Mike Tomlin twice now in the last 24 hours. We sat down with him. I was one of the people that sat down with him yesterday when he spoke to the assembled media, the local Pittsburgh media that are here. And obviously a lot of the questions centered on what's gone on at the quarterback position with the Steelers this offseason.
Of course. I mean, that's the topic of the offseason. I mean, revamp an entire position room, let alone a quarterback room. It's going to be noteworthy.
And you had a Super Bowl winning quarterback and another guy who was a first-round draft pick.
Right. There's high pedigree guys coming in and much different style of play. And I can't wait to see how it's implemented and excited to hear what he had to say about it, too.
Well, let's hear that now, Matt. Here's some of what Mike Tomlin had to say yesterday with the Pittsburgh media.
The last time you talked, you had a much different – you had just Kenny at quarterback, and now it's a completely different room. It's been a couple months. What happened from when you were talking with us in January until now?
You know, I don't know that dramatic things happened from a perception standpoint. We had one quarterback on our roster. Last time we talked, we knew, obviously, we had to acquire some talent at the position. And so we just studied the field and the levels of availability among some of the candidates in the field. We got zeroed in on Russell and Justin among them. Obviously, probably the goal was to, you know, get one guy initially. But through conversation and work, and can't give Omar enough credit, you know, we were able to acquire both guys.
Mike, what happened with Kenny? Why deal?
You know, I just think it was, you know, from his perspective, he felt like a change of scenery would be a good thing. Obviously, when we felt the trajectory of the business with Chicago moving in the right direction, those dominoes started falling. I won't get into specifics about our conversations, but I am appreciative of his efforts during his time in Pittsburgh, and I wish him nothing but the absolute best in Philadelphia. Again, I'm not getting into specifics about what transpired, who said what, who did what. Really, it's water under the bridge at this point. I'm excited about the guys that we have in the room, and I know he's excited about his new opportunity and fresh start in Philadelphia.
How do you see Justin Fields fitting into this situation this season?
You know, I think that's to be determined. You know, and I think that's one of the exciting components of team development. The division of labor, roles, and so forth, particularly when you got new and exciting talent, makes the process an exciting one. And so I'm excited about getting to know him and his skill set and what he can do. We've been very transparent about the pecking order, at least to start. I just think that provides clarity for all parties involved. Russell is a veteran, man. He's got a proven process of readiness. He's been in this league a long time. He's capable of rallying troops, receivers, tight ends, running backs, et cetera. He's just got a lot of experience in terms of what it takes to be the guy over the course of a 12-month calendar, and I just think that that's something that a younger guy like Justin could learn from. It provides clarity for all parties involved as they do some of the informal things that collectors do this time of year, whether it's, you know, coming together to work out and destinations and things of that nature. Rest assured, when it's time to compete, Justin will be given an opportunity to compete, and we'll allow those guys to sort themselves out. But I thought it was appropriate to describe it in the way that I described it in terms of how we get started. Russell's in pole position. I think his body of work, justifies that. And just from my conversations with Justin, I know he is excited about working alongside Russell, man, and maybe learning some of those veteran tricks of the trade and things that he's picked up from being in this league for over a decade.
That was Mike Tomlin yesterday with the assembled media. Kind of reiterated that whole thing this morning when he spoke at the coach's breakfast. Russell Wilson comes in as the number
pole
one
position. Yeah.
Yeah. Pole position, as Mike Tomlin said. Justin Fields will be the number two. But they're excited about, and he said that Fields was excited about when they spoke to him, working behind Russell Wilson and learning behind that veteran quarterback, who is a similar style of quarterback to Justin Fields. Maybe he isn't quite the runner that Fields is, but that's certainly a component of his game.
See, I really like the dynamic of kind of the older brother, younger brother type of situation, because I think Justin even said when he was drafted, you know, one of the guys he studied coming into the league was Russell Wilson. You know, and Wilson was a different player then than he is now. But Wilson was also a lot different player when he was Justin's age, too.
I mean, there weren't
as many runaround athletic quarterbacks at that point. It was, 10 years ago or whatever, and times changed quick. And he was often one of the best athletes on the field when he was Justin's age and developed into much more. So I think that he can be the perfect mentor for both. I mean, it's a really good dynamic between the two of them.
It is. Yeah. And I was talking with one of the writers from Chicago this morning as we were waiting for Mike Tomlin to come out, and he said that Fields, when you think about it, you know, he's the 11th pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. When he comes out, he's immediately inserted into the starting lineup.
Oh,
and you're the guy who have all the pressure on you. You're the first round pick. You're the savior of the franchise for a franchise in Chicago that really hasn't had a franchise quarterback
in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, Jim McMahon might be, you know, since
Jay Cutler,
the Sid Luckman days.
Right.
I mean, they've been searching. So there's a lot of pressure on the quarterback in that town because of that.
I'm not making excuses for Fields, but is it the organization or is it the player? When you go 50 years without having a franchise quarterback, maybe it's not you, it's me, you know?
But now he gets a chance to take a step back and maybe breathe a little bit and
absolutely
watch a veteran player who is very much – who has a similar skill set to him.
Absolutely. And I go back to early career Russ Wilson. You know, I mean, he was a third-round pick. He stole the job from Flynn, who was a, you know, high price, semi-high price free agent.
Yeah, they gave him
money.
Was
expected to start, you know. But Wilson was too good as a rookie, third-round guy. He's too short, you know, I mean, all that nonsense, or he would have been a first-round pick. But where I'm going with this is – those Seattle teams early in his career were Marshawn Lynch, the Legion of Boom, big-time defense, and didn't ask him to be Superman. You know,
right.
And I think that's going to be the formula here. So it's a balancing act. You have to get more big plays from a quarterback position than they have the last couple years. But you can't kill us with turnovers because we're going to try to help you with defense and running game. And so that's going to be really Coach Tomlin's balancing act.
Yeah.
You know, right.
By the way, folks, the folks who aren't watching our show on YouTube, which you should do if you get the chance, go to the Steelers YouTube channel and check that out. But if you're listening to the podcast, you can't see that Matt and I have matching shirts on today.
I know, pure accident.
We did not plan that. We didn't plan ahead when we packed to come to Orlando to say, hey, I'm going to wear this shirt on Monday, and you're going to wear that one.
Yeah,
We probably should do that to make sure that we don't wear the same shirts. I could text you in the morning. Maybe I'll take a picture of what shirt I have on.
It looks like our uniform.
Yeah. You know. But
good stuff there from Coach.
Yeah,
Trump, sure.
good stuff. And there was a lot more. He talked about how these guys fit into Arthur Smith's system. And he was asked about that again today. And he said, you know, are these guys a good fit in Arthur Smith's system? He said, absolutely. For what they want to do. And I asked him specifically about, you know, what attracted him to Arthur Smith as the coordinator yesterday, and he said, look, this, you know, I've coached against this guy in Tennessee. I coached against him as a head coach in Atlanta, and I just know that his mentality meshes with our mentality. in terms of what he wants to do, you know, what he tries to accomplish with his offenses. He said it won't be, it's not going to be any kind of transition for him to be the kind of coach that we need him to be because he's done it. And he also, you know, I asked him, I said, this is multiple times now that you've had a former NFL head coach on your staff.
Sure.
And what does that bring to the equation for you? Well, how does that help you? And he said, it's a lot of stuff that you can, you know, you can go over practice schedules and with the guy who's been a head coach and say, hey, you know, what can we do better with this? What did you do in your previous stops? He said, and things of that nature that you don't think about, you know, but it just helps him from that perspective that has somebody who's been in his shoes.
Yeah, a lot to unpeel there. I mean, so a job that big, there is no handbook for it.
No.
You know, and obviously Coach Tomlin's been there longer than Flores or Smith, but still – there's very few people on the planet that have been asked to do that job. And there's even the ones that have done it the worst of all time, you could learn something from.
Right.
Because, I mean, it's such a unique
even if
position.
It's a don't do that.
Yeah, right. Like, boy, I made a mistake doing this. I'm like, oh, I didn't think of that. I hope I don't go down that road too or whatever. I should have handled the media better. I should have been more on top of this, the weight program, whatever. So I do think having someone that's been in that shoes in the building with you, assuming they know their role, which of course they do at this point, and no one's challenging Tomlin. And I actually think it's very good for Smith because I thought he was a great coordinator that got thrust into a position that was a little over his head, especially at the end there in Atlanta, you know, dealing with more than just the X's and O's and that type of thing. As for the fit in his system, what I'm interested in, what worries me, is the middle of the field throwing stuff because neither one of these guys, especially Wilson, pulls the trigger between the numbers very much. And a lot of Smith's, you know, areas of the field that he attacks are between the numbers. That being said, this offensive scheme, more so than the last one, has very defined reads. And I really mean that for Fields as a younger player, because Fields, his biggest problem to me is getting the ball out on time, you know, and getting it out of his hands. But these reads are much more defined for Fields than they were in Chicago. And again, I'm not bashing the Bears.
It's a more quarterback-friendly.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you're going here or you're going here. And therefore, you're not patting the ball and making plays or dropping your eyes.
Here, or run.
Or run, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm sure his third read's often going to be run
or
even his second read. So that part is appealing to me. You know, I mean, it's a lot more defined. And that'll go a long way for a young quarterback.
Yeah, I wonder how much of that with Russell Wilson in the middle of the field stuff is simply because of who he played with. I mean, I can't think of very many tight ends that he has played with that you go, oh, that's a really good tight end.
True. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, Denver didn't utilize the tight end this past couple of years. Seattle's never had big-time guy.
Yeah.
I mean, Jimmy Graham was there for a while, but late in his career, I don't think he wasn't there with Jeremy Stevens. I mean, so I'm just trying to think of recent tight end usage. I mean, it's a lot of DK Metcalf down the sideline, Lockett.
Yeah, which is where he does his work. Lockett's the, you know, a kind of a deep threat as well. Mm-hmm. So you just, you know, I just wonder how much of that is a result of not having that weapon.
But it's still the whole key is, too, Smith needs to bend towards Wilson and Fields.
Right, yeah.
Wilson and Fields needs to bend towards Smith.
You get the red paint, you paint the barn red.
Right. You know. I mean, so Atlanta was last in the league in 11 personnel last year. Steelers were near the top. I don't think it's going to be one or the other this
year.
Probably
be somewhere in the middle.
It's probably going to be 20th or 16th or something like that. But you also better add some receivers too, you know. So that's a personnel thing, but that's still coming.
Absolutely. Let's get to our first break here, and when we come back, we'll be joined by Jerry Dulek of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and the Steelers Radio Network. Jerry was sitting in with me on all those interviews with Mike Tomlin, so we'll get his perspective on how all that went when we return. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We are at the NFL meetings here, annual meetings here in Orlando. We'll be back with more right after this.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson, and we're joined here at the owners' meetings in Orlando by Pittsburgh Post-Gazette Steelers beat reporter and Steelers Radio Network co-host, analyst, well, all the
all
above.
Those
all
right.
the above.
Right.
But we usually do a lot of different shows together, Jerry, but usually you're hosting and I'm
I'm glad to be in this chair. I like getting the questions. I don't have to come up with them. I'll just sit back and listen and fire back once you guys throw it at me.
And for those of you who can't see us on YouTube, which, again, I suggest you go and check out our YouTube show on so you can see the video here, Jerry's bringing the color to the show today. You are really the analyst here.
Yeah.
Matt and I are in our monochrome Steeler shirts, yeah. And you have your what's the logo there? Is that Oakmont?
It's a little, yeah. Let me show it off. Yeah, it's Oakmont.
I say we look like a mint Oreo.
Yeah, that's a good one right there, yeah.
Is there decent golfing down in this neck of the woods?
Yeah, you know, I hear they have some good golf courses here.
Yeah,
you know, I haven't checked any out today.
Not yet.
But
Not in the last 12 hours.
That's right. I do know they are here, including there's one right out there in the backyard that's not too shabby. The PGA Tour actually plays their father's son event here. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
very nice. Yeah. Very nice. So, Jerry, we got a chance to hear from Mike Tomlin twice now in the last 24 hours for the first time this offseason, and obviously a lot of the conversation centered around the quarterback position. What were your takeaways from all that?
Well, Dale, two things. One of the reasons why that we come to the owners' meetings, and one of the good things about it, is not only do we get to hear from Mike Tomlin always for the first time since the end of the season news conference, but we, the Pittsburgh group, gets him in more of a relaxed setting. And typically he's a little bit more forthcoming and comfortable in that environment, although I got a big kick out of when he said yesterday that he's, how did he say it? He basically said, I'm not a believer in comfort.
I'm
not addicted to it, whatever he said. And so, you know, we talked to him yesterday at length, which was nice. And, of course, the coach's breakfast today, you know, where a lot of the national media want to pipe in with their questions. And that's fine. That's fine because everybody's looking for something different. But, you know, he was very expansive about the quarterbacks, you know, the quote, search for them, the way this thing, you know, kind of unfolded, as he referred to it, as the dominoes falling in place. And it started with the acquisition of Russell Wilson, which led to the unhappiness of Kenny Pickett, which led to the trade of Kenny Pickett, which then led to going back to the Chicago Bears and acquiring...
Those are the dominoes falling.
Right, Justin Fields. And so, you know, and here we are. You know, fellas, a month ago, none of us, no one in Pittsburgh, no one in the country, if you'd have said the quarterback room from last year would be completely empty and there would be two new quarterbacks, nobody would have anticipated that. And let's face it, the trade of Kenny Pickett probably sent some shockwaves through the city, you know, surprise and stun like we haven't seen in a long time.
That was
time.
Not what they were looking to do.
No, that is correct.
Initially, they had planned on having a quarterback room that was a veteran guy and Kenny Pickett.
Correct.
And allowing those two to compete, which is what they were saying all along. It then changed when Pickett said, you know, I don't want to be here anymore.
You know, when you look at what they've done in free agency and the broader picture of it, you know, they were very active in free agency the previous 2 years. What we've seen this year is the magnitude of the players they're bringing in. And for all the attention focused on Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, understandably so, because it's quarterback and it's the most important position in professional sports. The acquisition of Patrick Queen, to me, is the biggest and probably, you know, fingers crossed for their sake, the most impactful move, because it in their desire, hopefully, brings some stability to a position that's been a revolving door since Ryan Shazier's career-ending injury in 16. You're talking about a guy in Patrick Queen who's going to be 25 in August, has been 4 years in the league, and Mike Tomlin said that might be the most attractive thing about him. He brings a unique blend of experience yet youth, and you know, started every game for 4 years, five forced fumbles, six recoveries, 13 and a half sacks, and a cover guy.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if he's stays healthy, which he has been throughout his career, man, that guy can make a difference in that defense.
So, Jerry, I want to talk about a lot of the moves they made, including the Deontay Johnson trade. But let's go backwards real quick on the quarterbacks. You know, you're dialed in. You read the tea leaves as well as anyone. Do you get the impression they're excited, like this exceeded their expectation for their quarterback hunt, or they settled for this, or, boy, they upgraded, or, you know, I mean, the names are exciting. The pedigree's exciting.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah, and Mike Tomlin has used that word as well. I think by bringing in Russell Wilson, there's no question they felt they upgraded their quarterback room. You know, let's go back even further. After the season, Art Rooney II, the team president, effectively said his patience was running thin. He said, quote, it's time to win playoff games. And I think he set kind of the tone with that, and they followed suit. And they felt that Russell Wilson gave them the option, the better option, to get into the postseason, which I know they did last year, but win a playoff game, which they haven't done in 7 years. They're 0-5. The last five playoff games, and maybe get their playoff train headed back in the direction it needs to go, which is win a game and see what happens. And they've just been unable to do that. And, you know, they feel that Russell Wilson gives them a better chance to do that. And then, of course, when you know, it all unfolded with Kenny Pickett, I mean, let's face it. To me, they got a better option with Justin Fields,
a skill set
that's completely completely better and completely different. And with no disrespect to Kenny Pickett, who can move and has some mobility, I mean, it's not Justin Fields.
Not close. Yeah.
He was the 11th overall pick in a draft of quarterbacks, whereas Kenny Pickett was the 20th overall pick in an average class of quarterbacks. So I don't think there's any question that the room has been upgraded. And I know Justin Fields won 10 games in 3 years. Mm-hmm. He was 10-28. And Russell Wilson's won 11 games the last 2 years in Denver. But I think they think, and I'm with you, I think it is an upgrade. And, yeah, I think they're excited. And let's face it, it's generated a lot of excitement, certainly interest, and a lot of excitement in town.
Yeah, and, you know, when you look at that and those additions that you mentioned on defense, not only Patrick Queen, Deshaun Elliott, you go and you get a cornerback in Dante Jackson, who's an established outside cornerback. You've improved your team speed up the middle of the field. You've improved your team speed defensively in the back seven here, and couple that with the pass rush that they're able to generate. The defense should be pretty good, and Matt keeps mentioning, when you look at Russell Wilson's career, early career, Russell Wilson had the Legion of Boom there, and their running game, it kind of matches up with what he had, in his early days in Seattle.
And Dale just mentioned team speed. I've been harping on that on defense, too. Everybody they added on defense is an upgrade speed-wise.
And I think the other thing it does, too, you address inside linebacker, you address strong safety. And I like the acquisition of Deshaun Elliott. That guy is a thumper, and he can run. And, he has some length back there. The funny thing about him, he's built more like a cornerback than a strong safety. But so what that allows them to do is focus a little bit more attention on a defensive line in the draft. I know it's not a heavy draft for the types of players they want on the defensive line, but there's no question. I think those moves and headed by Patrick Queen right there, it just improves their defense a great deal. And so now you get a running game that is proven with two. You have a 1 and a 1A now with those two guys. It's not A and B. It's 1 and 1A. With Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. And I think the other thing, too, you look at the defense. You had Patrick Queen, $41 million over 3 years. It was already, if it wasn't still number one, it was number two and the most expensive defense in the league. It is, without question, the cheapest offense in the league. You have a quarterback room that is inexpensive. Russell Wilson, $1.2 million. You have two running backs on their rookie contract. You have every wide receiver on their rookie contract. Both your tackles are on their rookie contract. You don't have a center right now, effectively. And the only two guys who cost you some amount of money are the guards. So it is a cheap, inexpensive offense that has room to grow financially. And that's, maybe if they could bring in one of those high-priced wide receivers. They intended to do that with Mike Williams, but the Jets beat them to it with a bigger deal than the Steelers would have been willing to pay.
That's kind of brings me to my next question. To me, that's maybe the next shoe to drop or the last shoe to drop before you go into the draft. They really could use two more receivers
without
question. Can count on. And you don't want to go in the draft needing two. You think they land a veteran of some sort between now and draft?
Well, I know they want to. Yeah. And what's out there for the pickings You know, we'll see. I don't know that Tyler Boyd is not the answer to me for what they need at that position. You know, you need a strong number two. You know, they have such high hopes for George Pickens, and as he goes into this season.
Could a trade be in place?
Without question.
Yeah.
Without question. I think that's a possibility. And so, yeah, they don't want to get two wide receivers in a draft. I thought there would be a wide receiver before Deontay Johnson's trade, before, you know, within day two of the draft. And now, I mean, obviously I'm convinced it'll be on by day two of the draft. And there are a lot of wide receivers out there. And so, yeah, I think it bodes well. But the problem is then you have such a young receiving room.
You don't want to put two rookies in
there. No, right. And you brought in Van Jefferson. And so he's brought in for depth, you know, a former high pick, but never was really productive in the NFL. But, yeah, I definitely think they would like to do that. But they, you know, have to see who's willing to do that.
Yeah, and then you look at the center position, and you know, Tomlin said yesterday that, you know, could be still be a veteran guy. You know, maybe they're waiting to see what happens with Connor Williams and how his knee is progressing, or they go that direction in the draft.
Yeah, I don't think there's a whole lot in free agency that gives them a big upgrade over Mason Cole, but that is definitely the case in the draft. And, man, if they don't go one, I think by number two, you know, centers typically don't go high in the draft. You know, Tyler Linderbaum was who was rated higher than any of these guys, lasted till number 25. And I think, what, only two centers have gone in the first round in the last 4 years. So I don't expect a run on centers. Don't expect two in the first round. And I think at 20, they have a good chance to get one of the ones that they like. And I'm not sure whether it's Zach Frazier or the other JPJ that could be added to the team. I mean, they have to find, to me, I'm not going to sit here and say they got to go find Maurkice Pouncey, but if you can find a quote anchor like that for the next 8 to 10 years and you think he's out there, to me, yeah, I'd go get him right
this
away.
This is a franchise that knows a little something,
about centers,
about center plays and quality center.
Right, and we'll forget about Kendrick Green, but we'll just, after that, we're doing, before that, we're doing okay.
So real quick, back to the Deontay Jackson versus, you know, Johnson for Jackson trade.
Dante for Dante.
Yeah,
basically.
It gets a little convoluted. But I remember looking at my phone when that came through. I'm like, wow, it's a little light for Deontay, to be honest with you. But the more I dug into Jackson, I think they love this guy. I think they like him a lot more than I initially thought and been after him for a while.
You know, Matt, I haven't, I'll be honest with you, I haven't had a chance to look into, you know, how good he can be or has been. But I'm with you. I thought what they got in return wasn't commensurate with a player of Johnson's, you know, productivity. Mm-hmm. Let's face it, he's a tremendous route runner, you know, works very hard. You know, his hands are a little suspect. We saw him go from bad to decent, back to bad, you know, some questionable decisions. Obviously, questions about his desire on the football field, his attitude, his pouting, whichever you want to call it, his disruptive behavior, you know, incidents with Mitch Trubisky that got him benched, the one with Minka Fitzpatrick. So obviously there were questions, character questions and things like that. All that being said, I personally like Deontay.
Yeah,
you know,
he's a good player.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I agree. I don't know that what they got in return was commensurate with his abilities, but we're going to find out if what kind of move that was.
Yeah, that's one that, you know, you're kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul in that situation to get the cornerback. But the way I looked at it, Jared, was if you started looking at the free agent cornerback market.
Right.
And the draft.
And the draft, you only have one first-round draft pick and one second-round draft pick. You know, you're going to try to get another starting cornerback there. That might have been the price that you just had to pay, the cost of doing business.
I just think you'd rather be shopping in the wide receiver aisle than the cornerback aisle.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Kind of like that analogy. Yeah. Kind of like being at Publix.
I've used it a couple times.
Or let's keep it a little closer to home, Giant Eagle.
Yeah, the Eagle.
I'm not sure Deontay's also the blocker that Arthur Smith's looking for either.
Yeah, probably not. And that was the other thing. You know, Mike Tomlin was very effusive about why he brought in Arthur Smith, what he liked about him. And, you know, you had this segment of the fan base that, you know, they want to see the young guys, the Sean McVay disciples, you know, Cliff Kingsbury, who was never on their
list.
That
was the funny thing. So Cliff Kingsbury's 43.
Yeah, right.
Maybe he's considered a young guy.
Right.
Arthur Smith's 41.
Right. Right.
He's not considered a young guy.
Yeah, they
he's
wanted those, those kind of fashionable guys. Zach Robinson signed before they ever could get a meeting with him. But I mean, Arthur Smith is exactly what Mike Tomlin said he wanted after the season. You know, a guy who's run NFL offenses before, and that's what they got with this guy. And you know, having talked to Mike Mularkey about him and Ken Wisenhunt about him, I mean, I think it's an outstanding hire.
And as Mike said yesterday, he came with a stamp of approval from Mike Munchak as well. You know, that's who he cut his teeth working with all those years.
You know, to show you how credible he is and what coaches think of him, Munchak hired him, and he lasted through three other coaches with Tennessee, Wisenhunt, Mularkey, and Mike Vrabel, and he promoted each time, which that's four different coaches who kept this guy and kept moving him up, and that's all you need to know about what they
and
think.
And every one of those
Arthur
guys
Smith.
Has Steeler ties.
Right, exactly. That's right.
Coincidence?
And they can't all. They must all have, you know, have something. They don't certainly have any negative opinions about him. He wouldn't have lasted.
And he also, I mean, he began his career working, you know, for Joe Gibbs. I mean, that's a pretty
shabby. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty good track record.
Yeah. Yeah.
So real quick on the offense side of the ball, we've been saying for a while we expect Freiermuth's role to grow. I mean, last year was kind of a waste of a great asset, in my opinion. I mean, do you think that's part of this hire too? Is get that tight end involved?
Yeah, and obviously that's his background tight end, assistant tight ends coach, tight ends coach. I think not only his role will expand, I think his wallet's going to expand here pretty soon as well.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any question about it. And you know, having him involved, and it might, hey, maybe it means a little bit more for Darnell Washington in terms of a receiver, but of course we know he's a terrific blocker, and that's, you know, what Arthur Smith is looking for as well. So yeah, I don't think there's any question it involves the tight ends more, but most especially
I'd like to see Ryan. Washington's routes get a little deeper down the field.
Yeah.
I mean, not 1 and 2 yard turnaround stuff.
yeah I don't know that his knees could get him that
down
the field, but we'll see.
We'll figure all that stuff out later, but Jer, we'll let you get back to back to business here. We appreciate you stopping by. Our guest has been Jerry Dulek of the Post Gazette and the Steelers Radio Network. He's Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. We are here at the NFL spring meetings here in Orlando. We'll be back with more on The Drive right after this.
Here we go, Steelers! Here we go! This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
And we are back here at the lovely Ritz-Carlton Orlando. And, boy, this place is just buzzing with people today.
People going back and forth. I mean, a lot of faces and names people would know. And we got a lot of booths set up here for teams. And this seems to grow year to year, too. It's almost like reminds me of the Combine. Like, you know,
the radio row here is getting expanding every year since I've been coming to. This is probably my sixth or seventh owners meeting, I think.
This is my second, and there's definitely more than last year.
Yeah, so it's continues to expand as the NFL continues its hold on the populace for about 11 out of 12 months out of the year.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
The league only shuts down really for about 3 weeks in July.
3 weeks, yeah, and then camp
and then
starts.
Camp's open.
And then
it's
flood.
A lot of stuff happening here this week. He's Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally,
Good stuff there with Jerry, too.
Yeah, good stuff there. And the defensive line stuff, he's right about that. And when we've done our mock drafts, we've always kind of tried to draft a defensive lineman at some point in there. And there just aren't many of the body types that the Steelers look for.
It's a thin group. And I hate to do this because in my core, I want more D-line. I want to be built like Georgia and Alabama and waves of Will Anderson.
That's one thing he said
Carter
yesterday. He said, he said that one of the things that he said about Arthur Smith is Arthur believes in building through the bigs.
Oh, okay.
Like we do, and that's why we've got the both sides of the ball. They want to get those quality players, in the trenches.
Yeah, and under Smith, everyone talks about, oh, he drafted all these guys in the top eight that are, you know, skilled guys. Lindstrom, Bergeron, these guys are high picks too.
Yeah.
I mean, Matthews was already in place. I mean, they invested a lot in that offensive line in Atlanta, which makes me think a couple things. I mean, I absolutely think early in the draft there's a chance they go center and tackle, maybe even back-to-back. I mean, like, they are not close to being done on the offensive line, in my opinion.
D-line's a little trickier, though.
Because of the lack of depth there.
Yeah, there's not as many names that just, boy, that looks like a Steeler. That's who I want to develop.
If you look at the body types, there's really only maybe four or five.
Especially if you're done with the nose world, which I think they are.
That fit with what they do. They got to be big enough to ride their ride. They have to have... certain length and size.
Rook at Clemson, Jenkins at Michigan. I mean, and you run out pretty quick. Even the first-round guys are more Geno Atkins types. I mean, that's not going to be the direction they go. So, again, it hurts my core to say this, but I wonder if that's next year's project. Is your first-round pick next year maybe a 6'5", 300-pound defensive lineman that can maybe be your next?
I haven't looked that far into the future, but I'm sure Georgia has a couple, or Alabama has a couple.
It's got to be a better crop than this.
Yeah,
but that also.
But if that's the case, everybody's getting
shopping in that. Those guys aren't easy to get either. Look what those guys are making nowadays too. D tackles are making big money, and that's becoming a premium position where it wasn't 5 years ago. But still, I do look at this draft, and no offense to their last two picks, but they have five picks to me that are legit picks that you can kind of say, I want this, this, and this with those five picks, in whatever order. And I think of those five, one's going to be a slot corner of some sort, or some sort of corner, probably a slot. At least one's a receiver. I think one's a center, and one's a tackle. Well, that leaves this guy. Is that a quarterback? Is that best athlete available? Is it a D lineman that you develop? I mean, a Mason Smith or somebody like that. There's not many to pick from, but maybe even if you trade down a smidge in round one and have to trade up in round two,
or maybe you got to take a guy like a Mason Smith, maybe a round earlier than you normally would.
Yeah, right. I mean, if you thought maybe he's an early fourth, you take him in mid third. I would understand that.
Because it's kind of a defensive tackle desert.
It's thin. It's thin. And you don't want to be short there either.
I thought something interesting, Matt, that Mike Tomlin said today, and I wrote about that today on Steelers.com. You can check that out on there. He said that a lot of you mentioned slot cornerback. He said a lot of the slot corners in college football end up being safeties, whereas in the NFL, he says a lot of the slot you need an actual cornerback to play the slot in the NFL because they need the coverage abilities to go with that.
I mean, I always go back to A.J. Green because he seems like the prototype. It's a long time ago. Prototypical outside-the-numbers receiver.
They put him in the slot.
Yeah, he plays in the slot. Yeah, I mean, let alone Tyreek and Jefferson and Chase and all these guys.
But even some of the guys who are coming out in this year's draft that you'd look at and you go, oh, he's not a tip. He's not a slot. Like Ricky Pearsall, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
He's a 6'1", 190-pound slot receiver. That's what he is.
Yeah.
He's not Wes Welker.
No,
he's not
5'9". Right. Those guys are fading away quick. Slot corner is an interesting dynamic in the league right now because I'm going to go back and listen to what Coach said about him because very few play slot in the corner like that is being asked in the league. And a lot of times, too, you might get a tight end in the slot that can really run, an Ingram, a Kelsey, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And is that matchup against Mike Hilton's of the world? Not really.
We got a little breaking news here, Matt.
Oh, yeah?
The Steelers have signed wide receiver Quez Watkins.
Okay. Makes some sense.
Speed receiver.
Andy
Weidel would have known him from Philadelphia.
Yeah, I would say there's an Eagle tie.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It doesn't take them out of the receiver market.
No, I think that's a Van Jefferson-level signing.
Yeah.
That's a four battle with Calvin Austin. Those three are very different, Jefferson versus Austin versus Watkins. Watkins and Austin could fly, but Watkins is a taller, more established outside-the-numbers type guy. We know what Austin is. Jefferson's a route runner who, I don't know if people know this, his dad's an NFL wide receiver coach.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been groomed to be a wide receiver. He's just not as gifted as those guys in terms of taking the
top off.
He did have
900 receiving yards a couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's not like he's a throwaway.
He's not a throwaway by any means. This works. I mean, we talked a lot about the Boyds and the Reynolds and those types. This isn't the speed bump to me of adding Ayuk or a first-round receiver or anything, but it's just another guy in the mix. So, makes sense. They have the money to spend.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay. That's one of those veteran wide receivers now taken, or one of those two receiver spots that we talked about is now filled with a veteran guy here. And so, that's one more thing checked off the box there.
So, immediate reaction, and I'm not downplaying it by any stretch. I'd have to look at the contracts on both of them, but I'm sure they're very minimal.
Yeah. I would bet Watkins and or Jefferson isn't even guaranteed to make the team. You know, you could still add two high-quality dudes,
sure.
Only make five. You know, like, they're nice additions. They could be very useful, but they're not the answer. It's not like, oh, you got Pickens counter. It's not Stallworth and Swan.
Yeah. He started 12 games, actually, for Philadelphia in 2021.
Oh, okay.
That was his had 43 catches for 647 yards and a touchdown. That touchdown being a 91-yard touchdown.
The big play thing. Big play.
Definitely has a big play ability. Eight starts in 2022, 33 catches for 354 yards and three touchdowns. And then last season started nine games for the Eagles, 15 catches for 142 yards. They didn't throw the ball real well last year.
No, they didn't. They had their issues. And this, again, reiterates what a good deep passer Russell Wilson is, too. I mean, this is his type of receiver. If you don't mind, can you pull up his combine numbers? Because I'm more interested in his height and weight.
He can fly. Yeah.
I mean, I know his 40 time was really good, but I was just curious what he weighed in at the combine. Is he?
Yeah, he's.
I think he's 6'1 or so. I'm guessing maybe about 183.
He ran a 4.36 at the combine.
I know he could fly. Yeah. I mean, that's not a problem. He plays that way still.
Looking
I'm
here,
just what his official
6' 185 at the combine.
Okay, I was close.
So he's a little thicker than what I thought.
Yeah.
Because he probably lightened up a little bit to
if he ran there
to be able to run there.
To
yeah.
So
and
no,
he did
it's a depth signing. It's
he ran a 4.35 at the combine and 1.51 split, 36.5-inch vertical,
mm-hmm.
10.5 on the broad. I mean, he is explosive.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's his deal. I mean, he's a vertical receiver.
Yeah. So
that's a nice addition. Yeah.
Yeah, so
I mean, this shows that they know they're a little light there.
Yeah, just keep adding NFL caliber guys mm-hmm. to some of these positions and see what works out.
Yeah, that's not a bad move. I'm sure it was not an expensive signing either.
No, it doesn't take them out of the market, as you said.
No,
the receiver market in the draft
or even a big trade.
Which is great wide receiver class.
I do think it takes you out of the Boyd Reynolds level guys,
yes.
though.
You yeah.
know, the threes, you know. I mean, I think you're comfortable there.
I mean, he was a three on a team that went to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, behind Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
He was one of the best pairings in the league. Yeah.
So
that's a good pickup.
Yeah, that's a guy that I'll have to look and see what kind of special teams ability. He was a sixth-round pick.
I don't think he tackles anyone on teams.
No, probably not.
No.
But with these new kickoff roles that could be coming mm-hmm. into play, you start looking at a guy like that can fly.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that was one thing that Tomlin talked about. These some of the ramifications if they do make this change in the kickoff rules. What is the fallout from that? There will be more returns this year.
Oh, no question.
And you know, so do you then need some of these return guys that maybe teams kind of moved away from a little bit in recent years?
See, I was thinking it might help the 200 or 190-pound scat back with return skills, they might get drafted a round earlier this year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Something like that. Or a special teamer that can run down on kicks or punts but is a better returner than the guys the Steelers have used lately on kickoff returns. You know, maybe that guy gets a little bump in his contract or lasts a year longer than he would have in the league. Something along those lines.
Yeah.
You can't just ignore it.
No, you can't. I mean, right. I think the last couple of years, because of the way the league has shifted away from the return, some teams did.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think the Steelers prioritized their kickoff returner. I mean, McFarland was their best guy over the last 3 years, I'm talking, and he was inactive a lot. There's
yeah.
no reason to stress it. You just put your hand up and then catch a fair catch or watch it go over your head out of the end of the stands.
They did have 24 returns last year as a team, which is actually more than most teams.
Is that high?
Yeah, that was on the high end of that. Some teams, you know, you had a dozen returns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they took a chance on it more often than some other teams.
Yeah, and maybe that's – I have no idea why, but maybe the teams didn't kick it out of the end zone against the Steelers as often as they did other
yeah,
teams.
Yeah, well, I think
no
some
idea.
Of that's because of where you play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get into November in Pittsburgh or in the Northeast, and the kickoffs are going to be shorter. May give
that
you more of a
up.
Chance to return. So
I don't know. Number of returns to me seems like more of a kickoff stat than a kick returner stat. Because you know, most teams can just kick it out of the end zone if they want, you know,
yeah.
with the old rules. And if they chose to, great. If not, then you return it.
Yeah. So that's the
that's
the,
a nice pickup, though, with Watkins.
Yeah, the latest move there for the Steelers. Let's get to another break. That's going to do it for our coverage here of hour number one at the NFL meetings here in Orlando. He's Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive, and we'll be back with hour number two right after this.
Have you experienced bacon the right way? Because there's bacon, and then there's Wright Brand number one thick-cut real wood smoked bacon. Make the most of mealtime and enjoy Wright Brand bacon, expertly smoked over real wood chips until every strip achieves an unbeatable depth of smoky, savory goodness. Cook hand-cut, hand-trimmed Wright brand bacon in the oven and make it the hero of your meal. Tap the screen now to learn more about Wright brand bacon.